We're talking impeachment this week because no one's talking about that, right?
Hello, and welcome to the Prickly City Podcast for October 16th, 2019. I'm Janine Fadich, and here is your host and the creator of Prickly City, Scott Stantis.
That's me! Woohoo!
I don't
know what else to say about that. Yeah, like apparently there's some kind of an impeachment going on.
Really? I hadn't heard that.
Heard that either. So, you know, let's talk. What are people saying? We'll talk about that in the strip, and obviously it's going to take off on a, you know, it's sucking the air out of the room, as I feared, and it's going to get even worse as things progress. I just finished writing a week about it this week that you'll see in a couple of weeks, but I guess that's, you know, that's going to be the subject. So, what are our readers saying?
Well, you had mentioned in the strip that this was going to take over the conversation now that people aren't going to be talking about Game of Thrones. And Don Diego says, like Game of Thrones, the political drama has also definitely gone, quote unquote, beyond the book. But unlike G.R.R. Martin's series,
that is great.
It's not because the founding fathers and constitutional framers had lost interest and walked away. Fan and or conspiracy theories do seem to have taken over the conversation, however.
Yeah, no, that's great. Who was that again?
Don Diego.
Don Diego, thank you, because that's hilarious, and it's absolutely true. We're in weird waters now. And can I go off on a tangent for just a moment? We talked about this over dinner, actually. And why, you know, you asked me if I was for impeachment. And I said, I'm not, because we have an election coming up, and why don't they just vote the guy out? The other thing about this whole process, right, as it's shaping up as of today, it's October 16th, and it looks like Pelosi and the Democrats are going to shove it through. It's going to pass. They're going to pass articles of impeachment. But they're doing this, and they're going to time it in a way that's designed to mess with the election. Now, that wasn't the intent of impeachment. It never was. It was to get rid of bad people who got to that office. And, you know, if you think this guy is unstable, if you think he's incompetent, then there's the 25th Amendment that helps you take care of that. Impeachment is if they infringe on, laws. And there are some who have interpreted to say that it doesn't, that it doesn't have to be a specific law or necessarily a law that has to be broken, but rather that the guy's just not suited for office. But that's not what impeachment's about.
Well, I thought that I read somewhere that Hamilton wanted to keep impeachment to make sure that there's no interference from other governments.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
what he did.
Yeah, that would be what he did. And I'm not here to defend Donald Trump and his actions with Ukraine or any one of a number of other things. My point is, and this is a weird point to make, and I seem to be at the moment the only one who's making it that I've heard of, and that's the sanctity of impeachment. Now, stay with me on this. Impeachment was designed, as I said, to get rid of bad people. It was used badly in the impeachment of Andrew Johnson. The radicals in the House passed a law that he couldn't fire his cabinet, which, of course, was against the Constitution, and he fired his Secretary of War. And that raised a ruckus, and that's what got him one vote away, got him impeached, and one vote away from being removed from office. Richard Nixon, they had the hearings in the Senate, they had the hearings in the House, and then they never got around to passing articles of impeachment. He resigned beforehand. Bill Clinton, you know, again, it was a political vendetta, and now the Democrats are diminishing it even more. These are high crimes and misdemeanors. This is supposed to address, and it just galls me that it looks like the Democrats are using this strictly as a political bludgeon to influence the 2020 election, and that is absolutely not what it was designed for. So that's my tangent. I'm off it. Janine, do we have other comments?
We do. Holden On says, we are so divided as a country, I see little likelihood the opposing political visions will even compromise, much less find I'm not going to pronounce this wrong because I can't seem to speak today. Rapprochement. I should have looked that up.
Yeah, rapprochement.
That's what it looks like to me, but it must mean something else. But anyway, my crystal ball, on the contrary, sees a likelihood of every upcoming POTUS undergoing impeachment inquiries in the future, regardless of who is elected to office. So perhaps the House should agree to codify a more defined procedure for how such inquiries are launched. Or perhaps even better, establish a permanent inquiry panel, a permanent presidential oversight review board.
You know, either of those proposals make perfect sense because he just said what I just said, which is that it's just now what's going to happen is anytime you have a house of a different party than the president, they're going to impeach him. And it just diminishes the power of that. It's the ultimate power. It overturns an election. It's a powerful thing. And so if we continue down this road, I think the Democrats are making a massive mistake. I think they're rolling a huge dice on whether or not this is going to work in 2020. I'd hate to see that the election turn not on whether or not Donald Trump has been a president or a train wreck or whatever your view of him is, but rather it's going to be a referendum on impeachment. And that, again, is that's a risky thing to do because people generally don't like overturning elections and they tend to rally around their leader when it's perceived that he or she is under attack.
Well, Ignatz is talking about Bill Clinton's impeachment, and he says, after the impeachment, his popularity increased.
Yes.
Because the American people recognized it as the ridiculous overkill that it was. But, he says, in Trump's case, we have him using the power of the presidency to pressure foreign countries to go after his political opponent, which is actually abuse of power, which is what the high in high crimes and misdemeanors mean. The fact that you guys did not abandon Trump after Helsinki when he publicly claimed to believe Vladimir Putin over our own nation's intelligence community is disgraceful, and you have decided that you prefer a man and a pathetic man over America.
Well, I'm not sure if he's saying me.
No, he's not saying you personally. He's saying defenders of Trump.
Oh, it's become
in the comments.
It's become a cult to personality versus a belief in a system. I read a book a few years ago called Rubicon, and it was the last 100+ years of the Roman Republic. And Romans were extremely proud of their democracy. They were proud of their Senate. They were proud that this is a staunch and vibrant republic. And, oh, who's the guy coming over the Rubicon? It just talked about how incredibly fragile these institutions are because they're institutions of ideas and ideals. They're not, you know, they're not armies or buildings. And so as soon as we switch from going to respecting the office of president to somehow elevating the president to a higher level, we've diminished democracy, in my humble opinion. So yeah, I think Ignatz is absolutely right.
Well, Cassonia too says, and if Trump is not impeached in the Senate, he will go completely, I don't know if we can say this on the podcast, ape.
Crap.
Yeah. Knowing he can do whatever he wants with impunity.
Yes. No, if he here's what will happen. If I had to guess, and here's my prediction today, and it really hasn't changed over the last few weeks, the House is going to shove this through. It's going to shove these articles of impeachment through. It's going to pass them. And they don't, my understanding is that it doesn't even have to be, it just has to be a simple majority of the House to send it to the Senate. They're sent it to the Senate. Mitch McConnell, being the frog-faced, worthless person that he is either going, doesn't have to do anything, by the way. There are no rules when it gets
really
to the Senate. They don't have to have a trial. Although McConnell last week says, if we get the articles, we're going to have a trial. They have the trial. He's acquitted. And then he's going to have exoneration. That's what he's going to run on.
Right, and so, you can still run even if you're impeached.
Yes, but not if you're removed from office.
Right.
But the Senate's not going to remove him from office. I don't think, as of today, October 16th, that Nancy Pelosi has said that she's not going to have a House vote on setting up an impeachment committee. I don't think she has the votes. A lot of the new Democrats in the House of Representatives today came from districts that Donald Trump carried in 2016. So that being said, they're vulnerable. And if they vote for impeachment in a district where Donald Trump won 2 years before, they're essentially telling them, your votes don't count. And that's a problem.
And as Michael Skagg says, here's an idea. Wait for the 2020 election and vote him out if you don't like him. Or is that too far a concept?
That's my point. We have an election in a year and a month. Work hard and get him voted out of office. I mean, given the, maybe the Democrats are just convinced that the pack of candidates they have right now are so terrible that they can't beat this guy.
But I'm pretty sure that they would believe that anyone they have is better than Trump.
Well, they would believe it, but the, and that's another philosophical thing, and that's where Democrats and Republicans are used to be different. I'm not sure they are as much anymore, but for years Democrats felt that the state was the better arbiter of what's best for you. Republicans felt that the individual rights should be ultimate. In terms of deciding, and that's really core beliefs, and those are the very different beliefs that in my mind, have always separated the parties.
But those beliefs aren't the same anymore.
They're not as much the same, but I think the Democrats are showing that you're too stupid, you, the American people, are too stupid to make this decision on your own, so we're going to make it for you. And that, you know, the arrogance of that, and I think there's a lot to be said. I do believe that that's part of what's driving this discussion. And a lot of smart people I know who lean left are thinking this and saying that an impeachment is the only way they can see to resolve this because the American people are so stupid that they would elect someone that they didn't vote for. I mean, and the arrogance of that thought is riling up the right and Trump supporters. And so I guarantee you one thing. In November of 2020, Trump supporters are going to vote.
Yes, definitely.
They are not going, mostly because they're old, they're bitter, they're angry, and they ain't got nothing else to do. So they're going to get out there that's what happened in 2016. 5 million fewer Democrats voted in 2016 than voted 2012. I mean, that's astounding because they didn't like Hillary Clinton. She didn't, you know, she was a statist. You know,
win the popular vote.
She did win the popular vote. This is true. And so we can talk about the, you and I disagree on something, and yet we're still married and love each other. And we're having our 38th wedding anniversary tomorrow, just so you know. But aren't we? If we last pass this podcast, we've made it, folks. No, on the Electoral College, I like it, you don't. That's fair to say, right?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
I like the fact that presidential candidates have to pay, you know, this time around, they're going to have to pay attention and actually visit Wisconsin in Michigan. You know, Pennsylvania and Ohio are going to be contended states, but it's also, and they're big states, but it's nice that not so populous states get attention and have political power. That's why that was put into the Constitution, and I like that. You hate America and you hate people and you don't trust them.
Well, it's also, we lived in a blue state and we've lived in a red state. And if you are the opposite, your vote doesn't count for much.
No, it doesn't.
So that discourages a lot of people from actually voting then. If you're like a red dot in a blue state, blue dot in a red state, you're like, well, sometimes like, why bother? My vote doesn't count anyway.
Well, that's stupid. You should vote. I actually believe, I'm leaning heavily towards, and this is a total different subject, but...
What if you could do something in between?
We saw this, what would be in between? Let me tell you, you know where I'm going with this, because you and I witnessed this when we were in Australia, and they have mandatory voting there, meaning that if you don't vote, you have to pay a fine. And so their turnout is 98% turnout, which is fabulous. And what do you get? You'd think like, oh my God, all these stupid people are voting. You know, both sides think that. And what you actually would get is a fairly left-of-center, right-of-center government. It rarely swings too far one way or the other because people are basically moderate and basically balance each other out and there's silly, you know, views of things. What's the middle of that?
Well, maybe you have the Electoral College, but whoever wins the popular vote by however many points you win by, you get so many extra...
Electors?
Electors, yeah.
But then you've really made it. You really have made it, you know, a popular vote, not an electoral college. You don't have that anymore.
I don't know. I'd have to think about that one.
Okay,
well, but that seems like some sort of compromise, and you still have to go to.
No, I see what you're saying, and
it's not that often that someone wins a popular vote and loses the electoral, right?
Oh, it's rare. But it has happened, twice, certainly in our life, voting lifetimes, in 2000 and now 2016. So, you know, I don't know if it's going to happen. It's happened in the past, of course. Who could forget the election of 1876 between William Henry Harrison? I mean, who was it? Rutherford B.
Apparently
Hayes.
Apparently you did forget.
No, Rutherford B. Hayes and Sam Tilden.
Oh, that one.
Yeah. Yeah, man. And that went to the House of Representatives where there were shenanigans.
There's always shenanigans.
Oh, always hijinks and shenanigans, especially, you know, Rutherford B. Hayes. Actually, I was thinking of doing some research. I was just on a lark thinking, would it be interesting to do a graphic novel about Rutherford B. Hayes because no one knows anything about him.
Would it be interesting?
He was a fascinating guy. He really was. He was a general who was gravely injured a number of times during the Civil War. Came up, got elected president in a very, very contentious race, and maybe some, you know, shenanigans took place to get him into the office. But after he only served for a term, he said he only served for a term, and he did. And he went about and spent the rest of his career, in large part, helping, educating, and elevating former slaves.
Oh, that's wonderful. That would be a wonderful story.
Yeah. And he's the president. For those of you who don't know, he's the guy who doesn't look like he has a mouth. He's got like the full face hair thing. He does. It doesn't look like he has a mouth. Anyway, that's the guy.
Okay.
So now you know.
All right. Well, I think that
we're back. Where that's it?
Yeah, we'll just stop. That's a good spot to stop on Hayes.
Okay. Well, listen, thank you all for listening to this week's edition of the Prickly Sea Podcast, where we are going to do this regularly. Now, I'm sorry for the stumble. I blame Ginny.
It's my fault completely.
Oh, I thought you could blame me.
No, I'm going to just take the blame here for now, and then you'll owe me big time.
You could be like Richard Nixon. I take the blame. I take responsibility, but not the blame. Okay. So, anyway, thank you, Ginny.
You're welcome.
And thank you to our wonderful producer, Brian Altimer, who's patient and wonderful and a good guy and a good dad, and just, we should all be like him.
We should.
I think. And thank you to WGN and WGN Plus for hosting this podcast. And if you want to keep up with the hijinks and shenanigans of Carmen and Winslow, please feel free to do so by going to gocomics.com/pricklycity. That's gocomics.com/pricklycity. And you can register and get for free, and you can get your favorite comic strips. I'm sure Prickly City will be first among them. And then maybe you can even leave a comment on the comment section, and we might even read it here on the podcast. So look, you know, the superstardom is just inches away from you. It's just a couple of clicks away. Am I right?
You're right.
And when I'm right?
You're right.
Or if you want to contact us directly, please feel free to do so by emailing us at pricklycity@gmail.com. I forgot it for a moment, but it is indeed pricklycity@gmail.com. Once again, thank you so much for listening to this week's edition of the Prickly City Podcast. Until next time, we'll see you in the funny papers. Yeah.